All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday on The Usual Suspects. You know how we do it? It's an F, yeah, Friday, because that means we are going to have some fun. We're going to have some funny, because we have a comedian of the week that you all know. We're just going to throw caution to the wind, as we normally do at the end of a week. Barry's here, I'm here. Dell is here for the first hour, then Aaron will take us home to the finish line. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? We're going to have some, you said we're just going to be loosey-goosey. Like, we're going to F is for free-balling. We're just out here hanging out.
That's you not wearing pants again. I'm talking about just the show specifically.
I am still not wearing pants a lot of the times. It is weird, though, that I still put on jeans for my nightly live chat, and then as soon as it's over, I take them off. I don't know. It's the strangest damn thing. I know, Joel. I don't know why I'm doing it. It's dumb and weird, and I don't know.
Because, like, it's become a thing now to be called out on TV
for not having on pants.
For not having on pants. And at least people are being honest, because there's no shame in that game. I mean, now, if you're doing it butt-ass naked, that could be a problem. But
sure,
the fact that people are at least owning up to the fact that, yeah, I got, even if the, you know, the, when you got to be all prim and proper on some of these ESPN shows, yeah, I got shirt, tie, jacket, and shorts on. You should.
Yeah.
I got no problem with it.
Okay. Well, I don't know why. It gives me a sense of normal, you know, a normal life, I guess. I don't know. It's a strange thing,
doesn't
Joel. What are you going
to do? Do that?
No. No, not at all. I did get, we got pizza yesterday, I told you.
Yeah.
We did the, and I forgot to mention, we did the contactless delivery, which was kind of weird. Because I don't think that it matters. I don't think that it helps, does it? Because, so the driver has on a mask, and he sets the bag down with the pizzas on top.
Yeah.
And I had the tip taped to the door. He rings the bell and steps back. I pick up the boxes that he's touched, that other people have touched. And then he takes the bag and leaves. But, I mean, if I have to wipe down my groceries from the grocery store, you tell me I don't need to wipe down the boxes of pizza from the pizza place?
Well, I think there's your first problem. I'm not wiping down the groceries.
I don't either. But I'm saying they tell us to.
Okay. But I would say this. Of all of the fast food, or not, the takeout food that you could order, I would think that the pizza is the safest, because everything else is being prepared by hands, whether they're wearing gloves or not, and you don't know. And then, you know, to get it into the containers and get it to your house and do all these things. We've ordered pizza, and Taylor normally, Fridays at school was pizza day, so we get pizza for Taylor on Fridays. I think it's the safest. It's in like a 470-degree, you know, oven. And at least Domino's does this, where the minute it comes out of the oven, it goes right in the box and they put stickers over it. So that means no one's touched it from the time it's come out of the oven. I would assume that's as safe as you can get.
I would think so, because, too. I mean, they do cut it. But, I mean, other than that, what's, you know, I don't think people touch
and
it.
They
run
at our place. We've done Chinese and we've done pizza, and they just leave it on the doorstep, knock on the door, and they walk away. They don't, because we do the tip online and everything like that. So they acknowledge that we've seen them and we're coming to the door, and then they just go back to the car and take off.
Now, see, the tip online thing, I wanted to give the guy cash, because when you tip online, I think they take a cut or a percentage or taxes.
Depends
or
on where you go. That is true. Yep.
Yeah, so I'd rather give the guys cash. So, but I mean, I just taped it to the door. It's no big deal. We got this little, like, our front doors are glass, but we have this iron design over the. So I just taped it to the little iron thing, and it's good to go.
I'm surprised you have some new the like double computer robotic arm, you know, with everything else you got in that house.
But one thing I was thinking about is like if you really wanted to have touchless pizza or contactless pizza, because they have an option on the place we use where you can get it. They won't cut it. It's just a whole pizza and you can cut it yourself. And I was like, oh, well, that would make it even better. It literally would go from the oven to the box, close the lid. Nobody touches it. So anyways.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, did you see that? I know you were changing the time about 85 times on your live chat last night, but did you see Onyx last night?
One time, and it wasn't my fault, Joseph. It wasn't my fault. I'm a stickler about the 7 o'clock, even though we never really start on time. But he Quentin Demps was headed to the studio, so we had to push it to 7:30. So, what do you want me to do? Okay, I digress.
I just saw the tweets. Like, oh, okay, he's doing it again. So, did you see that Club Onyx, if you don't know, is a strip club?
Oh, that, I had no idea.
Club Onyx had to try and declare themselves a restaurant and said that they were going to open up at midnight last night, and also their employees would be practicing social distancing. But they made it so public that the mayor's office found out and sent the authorities over there to shut them down.
Well, now listen.
And it was a big, and it was a big deal.
Now look, I'm gonna,
now the owner says he's prepared to go to jail, and he's opening up again tonight. He doesn't care.
Well, I think that I'm with him because you know you can say they're not a restaurant, but I bet you could go there and get crabs. So who?
Biscuits, too. You bet you could get your biscuits. Hands on some biscuits.
Yeah. Okay. Now, why would you just – you could have just let me have that. Why did you – that had nothing to do with – oh, it's going to be a crazy Friday. I can tell already.
You don't think that there's melons at a restaurant?
Are you done? I'm just letting him punch himself out. No, I'm just going to let him.
Okay.
Anyways, Joel, I – Where is that place? Where is that place?
It's off of Richmond, close to the station.
Is it? For some reason, I thought it was down south.
Well,
but
there was. I think there was. I recall that there was one more towards the north, more towards your side of town at one point. But on the news, they listed it as in the Galleria area off of Richmond. I think in and around the Sam's Boat area.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think the one you're thinking about is 45 North is like, it's called Fantasy, but that's an all-nude.
Probably changed names several times.
Yeah, I think the Fantasy is like an all-nude, which those are, it's a weird deal with the all-nude because it's like a BYOB, and then they open later. I don't understand how that's all possible. Like, it's actually worse as far as the nudity. But the restrictions are more relaxed. You can be there till 5 in the morning and bring your own alcohol. It's the damnedest thing. And this
well,
is all
I'm
what
pretty
friends
sure
have told
that
me.
We have listeners that have chimed in the past. They're going to start telling us right away where the club is and what's the one on the way to.
Sure, and I'll ignore almost all those.
Okay.
I mean, because like I said, we've covered that, but. I don't understand the relaxed restrictions on the worst strip club, but
okay.
Who am I?
Yeah, I think it's crazy that you know. So I understand businesses really want to open up, but this guy that owns Club Onyx, I mean, he's fired up. I mean, he basically fought it when the authorities showed up last night, but then complied eventually. But vows tonight he's going to open again. And if anybody comes and challenges him or the authorities show back up and want him to close, he's ready to go to jail. So he's making this a bigger deal on day two.
You know what? Smart businessman because he's getting free pub. We just spent at least half a segment plugging his joint and talking about it, and the news is probably covering it. So he's a very smart businessman for making this a big deal.
Yeah, one way or another, he's definitely getting some run out of it. So, yeah, you're right about that. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure the news will be all over it because it's been a slow news month with the exception of the coronavirus. Yes. So
it has been a very slow. I have even stopped watching TV pretty much altogether now. Nora and I have not been spending a lot of time together. She's been working. I've been busy. But we had a Ghost Hunters marathon last night, so that was cool. But I haven't watched TV. Other than that, I'm just not watching TV.
Now, Ghost Hunters is on, is that A&E?
Don't catch me lying. I don't know the channel that Nora handles all that. It used to be like the History Channel or Travel Channel or A&E or I don't know.
I think it's
dude.
A&E because it's the same channel that has my flippin' Vegas.
I know that it was like, I know they either switched channels or, because it's not the same crew. It used to be this different crew. And now one of the two guys, Grant, is still there with most of the old crew. Or no, I'm sorry. With an all-new crew. He doesn't have anybody from the old one but him. But it's still really good. And when they find proof of stuff, it's pretty crazy. It's I'm a believer. I'm
hey,
a
Mr.
firm believer.
Whoa, time out. Because you're Mr. Let me blow your myth out of the water.
Oh, hey, what?
You love to like kibosh everybody's beliefs that a lot of these shows are real, and you crap.
No, there is one. There is one where it's these three douchey looking guys where they've got on the Affliction shirts and their hair is all spiked and they wear the blue jeans with the white threads on them, and they got like Ed Hardy hats and they're all and they act like tough guys. They're all like, "Hey, you stupid ghost! I heard you were picking on the lady that lives here. Why don't you pick on me? Why don't you come pick on me, stupid ghost?" And then one of them, they'll be like, "Something touched me. Oh, my God, something touched me." It's like, bro, you literally just wanted to get picked on. It's that one is fake AF because I had a friend. I'm not going to say who, and I'm not going to say where, what city, but I had a friend that worked on that show and said, oh, yeah, they make 99% of that stuff up. None of that stuff happens. But that's a different one than Ghost Hunters. Huh?
Isn't Jack Osborne on one of those shows?
That I don't know.
I thought he does one of those too. But you're the one that craps on everybody's reality TV thinking it's real, telling them how it's fake. But yeah. Yet you're telling me, though, that this Ghost Hunters, you believe
it's 100% legit. Yeah, 100%.
And what gives you this belief that it's absolutely real?
Because if you watch reactions and people's faces, I feel like you can tell when something genuinely happened and when they're faking it. If they see a light anomaly or a shadow, or you can genuinely, if you pay attention, you can read people. Like, you can tell when something is scripted, when it's organic a lot of times, if you're really paying attention.
Leonardo DiCaprio, but you don't believe that they can act a little bit?
No, but I mean, I'm sure they could. But the difference is no one has ever come out and said that what they do is fake. And if you look at the video that they have and it's just – I don't know. I personally don't think that they fake it, but I also believe in ghosts and spirits in the afterlife. And I think that a lot of what they do is just genuine. I mean, and there's a lot of reality TV out there that's not. But – I don't know. This one I tend to believe.
Come back
so.
As a ghost. You are going to be a mother, Danielle.
Oh, bro, I swear I'm going to haunt some people. I'm gonna get all these texts, these mean texts and numbers. I'm going to save them. And if I die before they do, I'm haunting their ass. Everybody that talk trash to me on the text line, get ready. You're going to be like those douchey guys on that one show. I'm going to touch you. You'll be like, "What was that? Something touched me. Oh, my God." I'll be like, "Yeah, who's the a-hole now, buddy?"
Because now I can't watch Flippin' Vegas the same way. Because now I'm thinking every time, like, "Oh, they set that up. Oh, that's probably just a complete..."
Well, that's the thing. There's something. There's if it seems like too good to be true or over the top, then. But a lot of this is like, "Oh, there was a disembodied voice," or "Oh, there was a somebody saw something move, but they can't prove it." And they do a lot of debunking too in the show. That's why I also think, because somebody would be like, "Well, when I'm here, I get the feeling somebody's watching me." And they're like, "Oh, well, we went down to the basement where you said it happens with an EMF meter, and the EMF is off the charts. And that'll make you feel like creepy, like something's watching you. If you could put a metal box around this and fix it, that'll go away." So it's not always about the ghost. It's really about debunking it. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if something is always outlandish and crazy, every time, no matter what, chances are that's been scripted.
Yeah, but okay. But every house they flip isn't outrageous and crazy. It's just that a lot of them have been foreclosed on, and people take it out on the house instead of realizing it was their dumb way of spending.
Okay.
But, you know, like there was one where they found in one of – there was a vent that was all – like there was a bunch of debauchery going on because they found a lot of stuff that looked like a lot of illegal activity. And one of the vents in the ceiling had been like sealed up. When they opened it up, he found a Ziploc bag full of cash. Mm-hmm. And IDs. Like, and he's keeping the cash. I'm like, and then there was a car that kept like casing the neighborhood. And then I was like, I can see that, especially in Vegas. I'm sure there's a ton of scam artists in Vegas that, you know, look for, you know, some temporary housing where they can at least just lay their head at night while they're going out taking money from people on the strip.
Okay. I mean, look, I don't want to burst your bubble. If you want to believe, I say believe. That's totally up to you.
Club Onyx is on Bering Street, right by Sam's boat, by the station. So that is that location, if we want to clear that up. But we're just getting started. You want to tell everybody who the Comedian of the Week is?
Yes, our Comedian of the Week is none other than Joe Rogan. And I'll give you the reason why I chose him after we hear clips from him.
There's a guy that's up and coming but needs a little pub to get going. So if his podcast doesn't take off, he might need some help. All right. So Joe Rogan's our Comedian of the Week, F for Funny on an FBF Friday. And, of course, we want you as F for friends of the show, to participate. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. It's the HRNP listener line. We'd love to have you. Also, check us on Twitter where it's DelV2, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I love the show The Game of Thrones, but I hate everybody who read the books. It's weird. It's a conundrum. I don't hate that they read the books. I hate that they have to tell me they read the books. You know, it's one of those things that people do where they tell you they read the book just to let you know that they read. You know? They always say the same thing. You're like, oh, Game of Thrones is the best show. You go, the book's even better.
Nothing happened there. Okay. So, Comedian of the Week, Joe Rogan. And Barry, give us what you got.
Yeah, so the reason I chose Joe Rogan is actually he came up in some conversations earlier in the week, and then I was talking about how he used to actually roll through Houston quite a bit, and Houston at one point was a booming spot for comedy, one of the best comedy cities in the country, and the Laugh Stop was one of those places that, like, that's where, you know, Sam Kinison and Bill Hicks and those guys, a lot of people cut their first CDs at the Laugh Stop here in Houston in its heyday, and Joe Rogan was one of them. His very first CD he ever recorded is called I'm Gonna Be Dead Someday, and he recorded it at the Laugh Stop here in Houston. He loves Houston. In fact, when he was here last, I think he was at the Toyota Center. That's how big he's gotten.
Yeah, he was.
The Laugh Stop to the Toyota Center, and he took a video of it, and he said, look, I've been coming to Houston since 1998. I did my first CD for Warner Brothers Entertainment in 1999, this place holds a special place in my heart, and tonight was amazing. Thank you. So, Joe, you know, Houston means a lot to Joe Rogan, and I thought it would be cool just to talk about a guy that, as he was coming up, this place, you know, he kind of cut his teeth here, as well as other places, but like you said, it has a special place for him. And the reason I knew that is because I would see old photos of the Laugh Stop, or I would see old photos of comics like John Wessling, and they would all be hanging out, and right there in the midst of them is Joe Rogan, just hanging out with them, you know, smoking cigarettes, telling stories at some of the clubs here in Houston. So he was part of the scene, so to speak.
I mean, there's a lot of people you can say that have had kind of a charmed life, mm-hmm. and things have gone their way. Joe Rogan has to be one of them. I mean, you know, I touched on it when we talk about his podcast, but when you see the numbers, just the sheer numbers on his podcast, and then like you said, he sells out the Toyota Center. I mean, the entire building.
Yep.
I mean, that's a massive arena.
Yep.
And we see so many of these entertainers that are going to the Smart Financial Center because they can't sell out a menu like that. And then you add in the MMA aspect and him being, you know, one of the key analysts on all of the UFC and all that. And you talk about all the wide range of things, and everything he touches seems to make him a lot of cash.
He's a very versatile guy when you think about it. He looks like a meathead, first of all. He looks like a guy that's just like, Thor loves comedy. But he's very intelligent. He's very eccentric. He's an athlete. I mean, his jiu-jitsu was off the charts. He actually got into MMA because he was a Taekwondo guy. And so he's
really?
Yeah, he was a Taekwondo guy before he got into jiu-jitsu and MMA. And he was a martial artist, but Taekwondo and kickboxing was his thing. And I guess karate and some other stuff, but he's well known for his Taekwondo. And then he got into jiu-jitsu. That led to MMA and watching UFC. He eventually became a commentator. Obviously, he does comedy. He's an actor because he was in news radio, which was a really big deal for him when he got his start. So it's just a Fear Factor was a big one for him because that kind of put him in everybody's, you know, living rooms.
Sure.
in a different manner. But you think about it, you got to really be versatile and good at everything in order to do all of those things.
What was his first priority and his first startup gig that got him going? Was it all just being involved in jiu-jitsu and MMA? Or was it, you said, you know, wanted to be an actor, wanted to be a comedian? Because, like I said, he's got so many different forays into entertainment. It's crazy. I'd be interested to figure out how he got his start.
Yeah, I think he started doing comedy in Boston just going up, just like all of us do. You go up and you grind, and I think eventually he went to New York, and he started to move up a little bit. And then he probably, I think he ended up going to New York, if I understand it. He went to New York for a while, kind of grinded it out, and then went to L.A. where he landed some TV roles. I think he did MTV and stuff like that too. And it just kind of snowballed. You know how this business is in entertainment, man. A couple of breaks here and there, and next thing you know, you got more work than you can handle. The problem is, and the difficult thing is, getting that first break. But once you get that first break, it seems like it all kind of starts to happen for you. So I think that was the case for him, is he got the first break on news radio, and it just kind of he was able to parlay that into some other stuff. He ended up at the Comedy Store, where he was a regular and got his name on the wall.
I mean, he looks like a follically challenged Carson Daly. So I didn't know that he was actually athletic and really good at jiu-jitsu.
He's ridiculous at jiu-jitsu. And he trains at 10th Planet, which is a little bit different. It's like a no-gi jiu-jitsu where it's more – when I say no-gi, like that's – they call it the pajamas. Like if you watch karate and they wear the uniform, that's a gi in jiu-jitsu. But there's no-gi where it's just like shorts and a shirt. And that's kind of what he specialized in at first at 10th Planet too. And Eddie Bravo and all that, and all, you know, it kind of all just.
But you understand what I'm saying when I use the Carson Daly analogy, because just like you said, you see him smoking cigarettes in some of the old videos and things like that, and you think, well, this is a guy that's just kind of, you know, like not quite Andrew Dice Clay, but it, you know, he's a comedian, he's smoking, he's just, you know, getting through life that way. It doesn't seem like he would be a guy that would be, you know, a top shelf jiu-jitsu guy or otherwise.
Oh yeah, no, He's a health nut, though. He's a workout fiend, but he really got into it at some point. I guess he fell in love with it. I don't know. I really don't know why or how, but he's really good at it. Just like martial arts in general. Yeah. So that was part of his thing. And that's how he ended up in the UFC too. Obviously, as a commentator, was he loved the sport, and he knows the sport very, very well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so how did Q-Demps go last night? You know, I told you I wanted to hear what happened if you asked him about Billy O'Brien.
Oh, and I did. And you know what? I don't want to spoil it. There's two things you can do. You can either go listen, or if I'm working on getting him on the show, because I think the peeps in general need to hear Q Demps and what he has to say, because I'll say this without giving it away. Mm-hmm. It surprised me, but it didn't, if that makes sense. He was very open about it. Now, one thing I did ask him about, which we could get into a little bit more, but I asked him about the Texans, and I asked him about the DeAndre Hopkins stuff, but I also asked him, was Bob McNair racist? Was that a thing?
Mm.
And he was like, I never saw it. So we got into a lot of stuff, man.
Wow,
and
he
And I told him, I said, hey, man, I'd love to have you on the radio show to talk about these things. Are you down? He goes, yeah, let me know. So I'm going to schedule him. Maybe we can get him on Monday or Tuesday of next week. We'll talk about the McNairs. We'll talk about the Texans. We'll talk about Bill O'Brien. We'll talk about, you know, all this stuff, the DeAndre Hopkins trade. We can get into all that. And he's just an interesting cat, man. He's a musician. He's an artist. He writes. He does hip hop. He was very open about he's in therapy because of football and, you know, the change of lifestyle. So dude was an open book, and he's a fascinating guy and just a genuinely nice guy. So I told him let's do this on the radio. And of course I texted y'all last night and said, are you cool? So we'll make it happen. He'll come on Monday or Tuesday next week if we can get the schedule lined up. And he'll spill the tea on Bill O'Brien. He'll spill the tea on the McNairs and the Texans and all that. So asked him about DeAndre Hopkins trade and everything. So it was he was open, man. He didn't dodge anything.
God, remember when we first got started and we did those shows with him?
Yeah. And I actually even brought it up like, well, you know, why does Bill O'Brien care about winning practice? Who cares how hard a guy practices as long as he performs in the game? Yeah, I said, you know, don't tell me that J.J. Watt doesn't take off practices now and then. He goes, Barry, he doesn't. You're wrong. He goes, he doesn't. He goes, all the greats practice harder than they play. He's like, that's the proving ground. He said, if you're a great football player, you practice hard. I was like, so are you suggesting DeAndre Hopkins isn't great? He goes, I'm not saying that. He said, but most guys that you know that are high-level players in the NFL go hard and practice.
Man, he goes, you don't want –
yeah, I was like stunned because I'm thinking, you know, I mean, we're talking about practice, not a game.
Right.
Not a game, practice. And that was kind of the mentality that you think about. But he was like, nope. I can tell you right now, J.J. Watt practices 110%.
That's interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, man. So it'll be cool. We'll have him on. I think everybody will enjoy hearing him and his candor and insight into the Texans and the NFL.
Good deal. Also, we've got Brandon Cooks who spoke yesterday talking about Bill O'Brien. So I've got a couple of sound bites isolated we can get into there as he did a conference call with the media yesterday and answered some questions. Interesting comment about Bill O'Brien that he made. Also made some Jack Easterby and other people, but we'll see if he can live up to what he thinks he can do for the Houston Texans. We're just a half hour into the show. We got plenty more to get to. And, of course, we want you to be a part of it. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. Also, if you're looking for something to do this weekend because you're sitting at home bored or you just want to play some poker, another edition of our charity poker tournament is going to take place tomorrow, May the 2nd. It's going to be at 2 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap, putting on the fourth now and possibly, obviously, the final Houston Online Poker Charity Classic. First, second, and third tournaments together raised over $5,300. So they're going to do it again. The tournament will be $50 with an optional $10 donation, which will go to two charities. Kids Meals, which delivers food to the children in the Houston area. Southeast Texas Food Bank in Beaumont as well. For more information and to register, head to the editor's picks on sportsmap.com or email promotion@galmedia.com. Jerry Bowe, Fred Fowler, Courtney, our promotions girl, do a great job with that, so check it out. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, half hour in, and it's Barry. It's myself and Dell as we take you through your afternoon on a Friday in the big city. It's an FEF Friday, F for funny, F for football, F for fun, as we just get lots of stuff out there for you guys to kick around and talk about with us. Not anything really breaking overnight, I don't think, in the sports world. But
no, somebody sent us a link that I hadn't seen, but it was about the SEC, I guess, playing themselves.
Yeah, there's a big to-do now because certain schools are saying they're not going to participate. Others are saying that they are. You know, it's again, until everyone gets a firm grasp on the virus itself, I don't think anybody has any clue as to what's going to happen, as we talked about with baseball, basketball, and football. And yet, the one league that seems to just continually soak it all up as an advantage for them is the NFL, because now, as we talked about yesterday, and it's gotten a bigger push today, is the fact that the NFL's not joking. When they said, if college is going to drag their feet and try and wait as long as possible and possibly either not have a season or just delay it, well, then they're going to play some of their games on Saturdays, and they're going to capitalize again from a ratings coup standpoint and exposure standpoint. They're going to be all over it, and they're smart for doing so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to protect the shield, so to speak. You have to do what's best for your product, and if you can get games on Saturdays. They would always love to have games on Saturdays, but they have the agreement with the NCAA, so they don't. But if there aren't games, or, you know, we see it every year, when the NCAA winds down, the NFL starts running games on Saturdays. So I think they would love that. You miss, you know, I'm sure that it's difficult because of the church crowds and their numbers might be better. So why not put it on Saturday when there's no distractions? You can just watch football.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know about the church crowds. I guess that can be an issue, but I mean, people find a way to get there if they're passionate about being there regardless. But, you know, who knows with college football? I mean, because look, the bigger thing with college football is, are they in class or not? Because I totally agree with the sentiment that how can you be expected to play college football if classes are not in session and you're not back on campus? I mean, if you're still doing everything online, but yet you're expecting college athletes that they have to go into to the campus and they have to perform and do these things. And there's just too many things still to be figured out. And we're seeing that just with what's going on today in the city and all these cities across the United States where, okay, now everybody's open for business. Well, as you and I have said, what does that mean? And how's everybody going to handle it? Because I did see this, and it's like, if this is a sign of what's to come, then people are idiots and this isn't going to go over well. Channel 2 this morning was doing a thing on restaurants that were going to be open for breakfast starting today when they were allowed to do so. And, you know, the restaurants are doing all the things, taking the proper precautions they're supposed to do, such as spacing the tables, you know, providing sanitizer, encouraging masks, paper menus, and paper tablecloths, and in some cases, plastic utensils, so everything can be thrown away and you don't have to worry about anything recirculating. And then they show the line to get into the place, and it's like 25, 30 people, like right up on top of each other, going, so all of that means nothing if you idiots can't figure out how to space going in.
Isn't it funny how judgy we are about line spacing now?
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like everything else. I mean, and obviously people are judgy about if you're wearing a mask or not.
Yeah.
And some people are staunchly for it. Some are against it. But then, like Lisa said, she's like roping me in with people from Michigan. But she goes, when you were growing up, she's like, were there people that were just toting guns all over the place? I go, no. You know what? Yeah, if you're on the farm in rural Wisconsin, you have guns. But
right.
And a lot of people had guns at their houses to protect themselves. But nobody's open on the carry laws. No one's carrying like you talk about carrying. No one's doing that back home. But you see these people bringing these long-barreled rifles and things to the state capitol in Michigan going, oh, that's going to solve things. That's going to calm people down.
Yeah, probably not the best thing. People freak out around guns. Some people aren't comfortable around guns, right? And then
that's
you bring
true.
It and – yeah, so – probably not the best thing in the world.
No. So I mentioned, by the way, Brent, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I've been wanting to, you know, get into that tournament that they're doing, Fred and Jerry Bowe and ESPN. Yeah. Yeah. And I was having issues with that PokerStars.net app. I finally got it fixed. So if there's still space, I think I'm going to try to get in this Saturday at 2.
There you go.
So I encourage everybody, hop in. Let's.
I know Dr. Dre's been doing it. I know that there's been a lot of suspects that have been partaking. So, and again, like I mentioned, you know, kudos to Fred and Jerry Bowe and Courtney and even Granato and his son JT because they're participating. And then whatever they won, they're donating to the charities so that the charities, you know, capitalize. And that's the best thing of all of this. Sure, it entertains the listeners that are also poker players, and it gives people something to do. But the fact that, you know, they're making a substantial contribution to two worthy charities is just a fantastic effort.
Yep, it really is. So I was messing with it last night, as a matter of fact, and then I actually got it this morning. I got it. I think I got it resolved, and meant to mention that when you did the read. But yep, I'm gonna try to get in, have some fun.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah. And you know, good deal for you to stay inside, because you know it's gonna be beautiful weather again this weekend and low 80s and all that stuff. I went for a run last night, and boy, I'll tell you what, it was that perfect weather all the way through last night, because I got done, and then for some reason Madison can be fussy as hell in the house. But if you take the baby outside, she just loves being outside. She just chills out. She just loves like the breeze blowing, and she watches Taylor ride her bike and whatever. And I'm like, this is easy for me, man. I could sit outside when the temperature is like this and just let the kids play and be like, this is all good in the neighborhood. So,
It was beautiful.
Yeah. Again, even this morning in the high 50s, when I'm walking the dogs going, yeah, I could get used to this, but that's why Houston has a, you know, 100 and whatever degree heat for 8 months of the year, because they don't need everybody in America come trying to get here and live here as quick as they can.
Man, could you imagine Houston's economy with LA's weather?
I mean, just think about San Diego for a second. I mean, San Diego, all of Southern California. But San Diego, I had two buddies that lived there, and they said, you know what, if this was like one of the best kept secrets in America, it'd be fantastic. But the more and more people found out about it, there's a reason why everyone wants to live there, and that's why it's one of the most expensive cities in the nation. So, yeah, Houston doesn't have to, you know, as much as you want that weather all the time, you can deal with a little heat and humidity if it means that not everybody has to flock here.
Right.
So I mentioned Brandon Cooks. We got some audio coming up on him as he talks being traded multiple times and talks about his conversation with Bill O'Brien. Also, you're going to love this, but the governor of Illinois with a true Midwest accent gets called on the carpet on a live press conference about the fact that he had set a stay-at-home order. And lo and behold, a member of his family got caught maybe not practicing what he preached. So the answer's fun, and we'll get to that as well, too. So we're going to continue to roll on the usual suspects in the first hour of the show. And, of course, if there's things that you want to join the program with and throw at us, we'd love to have you. 713-780-3776. Call or text. Hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Sun is down, freezing cold. That's how we already know. Winter's here, my dog will probably do it for Louis Bell. That's just all he know, he don't know nothing else. I tried to show him.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, myself, and Dell until 2, and then Aaron Raybould till 4. And, Barry, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I just got around to responding to Trey on this. Evidently, Juggs is trying to turn over a new leaf. He's trying to get physically fit. So I wasn't aware of this, and I saw a tweet where he said, I just got done running 6.4 miles. I don't know how y'all do this.
Damn.
And I'm like,
6.4 miles?
I mean, like a mile or two I get, but 6 miles? So
damn, bro.
I sent him a private message and I go, did you really run that or are you just playing around? He goes, I did. And I was like, in Chuck Taylors and jeans? Like.
See, you ain't right. You ain't right for that.
I'm just curious. Now, he says he walked 4 miles briskly last night. I love this. This is the new Trey mission, and he's going to whoop himself into shape. But he says on the running part of it, he said he didn't run it that fast. Honestly, I would run as fast as I could for a second and then kind of jogged. I stopped a few times. But 6 miles?
Man, wow, good wait, for him.
Good for
man.
You, Trey.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I look forward to updates throughout the next month and see if he sticks with it. I hope he does.
Right?
Yeah, good for him.
I do, so, too.
Obviously, a lot of people are monitoring everything with all this, everything opening up. I drove by the mall this morning just curious because normally, just to give you an idea, I go get coffee in the morning and I take Taylor and I take the baby because then Lisa has a chance to work out for an hour as she gets in TV shape. And, you know, obviously she's always worried about the kids. So we drive around and the kids love it. And so I was like, well, I'm going to drive by the mall and see what's going on. And I'm telling you, there had to be 15, it's like vultures swarming around roadkill. I mean, there had to be like
really?
15 or 20, like, women in SUVs just, like, slow rolling up to, like, everything from Macy's and Dillard's to read the sign on the door to see what time and if it's really true. And then others that were, like, going towards the Old Navy's and the DSW shoe warehouse and hoping to God that they could just unleash the fury on a shopping excursion again. It was crazy.
Wow.
People clamoring for that stuff, man.
It's I think people are clamoring for anything at this point, Joel. I mean, seriously, everybody, I feel like everybody's like losing it. Like people are more mean than they normally are. They're more desperate than they normally are. They're more depressed. It's just, you know, I think people are like, man, whatever you give us, we'll take it at this point. I can go to the mall. Let's do it.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I mean, but do it smart, you know, intelligently, right? You know, still practice your social distancing. So still wear your masks. Again, I don't know how they're going to pull off this 25% of their normal allotment of people in the malls and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, I still say they do it per store, so I don't think it's that big of a deal. But
in a mall, you got to monitor how many people are in the actual mall. That's what they said they're going to do.
Well, yeah, they can do both.
They're saying that if all goes as planned, they want gyms open by the 18th of May. Look, I'd love to have that happen. I just don't know that it's going to. I don't know how they can, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one seems a bit trickier because there's already nasty stuff at gyms, right? Like staff and people that don't clean.
Yeah.
And so that one might be a little
trickier. I fixed
my
clippers because they said that gyms and hair salons and such aren't until the 18th of May. I can't wait till the 18th of May for a haircut. So I told Lisa this weekend, we're going to give it a go. I ordered a couple of different blade settings for my dog clippers, and I'll clean it real good and put a little longer blade on it. But I'm going to give it a shot because I've already got a mane going that I can't deal with anymore. So, and I'm also thinking, based on how long we're going to be out of the office, no one's going to see me anyway. So even if it gets all hacked up, I don't care. It'll grow back by the time we're back in the office. Because, I mean, I wouldn't do it if I knew I'd see you tomorrow. Because that would be dangerous. And then, like, in the middle of a segment, you'd pull my hat off or something. And then, you know, the Twitch feed would have it. And then here I'd be looking like Joe Rogan. And I'm not going to have that. So I'm going to take the necessary precautions.
Do it now? Well,
yeah.
God, I hope you do it now. And AJ's like, hey, we'll see you on Monday. Yes!
Well, I mean, look, and AJ can do that because he's got nothing to hide.
Yeah, so, well, and anytime he could get any of us, he's going to do it. So,
absolutely. So yeah. I mentioned Brandon Cooks. Has this. I watched the whole thing. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not, but they did the Texans did their their media video conference with Brandon Cooks. And he had some interesting quotes. The first one that caught my ear and attention was he mentioned his first conversation with Bill O'Brien. And see if the things that stood out to me stand out to you when you hear this quote.
You know, first and foremost, you talk about coaches that have a lot of energy, talking to Billy O, I got on the phone with him. I felt like I wanted to run through a brick wall. You know, I just can't wait to get out there on the field with a guy like that. And same thing with Coach Kelly, just through the process of our meetings. But as far as the particulars, you know, we'll just keep that to ourselves.
Now, I can understand if you want to go head first into a brick wall after talking to Bill O'Brien. But the fact that you talked to Bill O'Brien and you wanted to run through a brick wall? What stood out to you from, let me just say that, because that's what I set it up for. What stood out to you when you heard that quote from Brandon Cooks about Bill O'Brien?
I mean, I don't know, nothing. It just sounds like he was really jazzed to be talking to O'Brien, that O'Brien got him pumped to come be a Texan.
I mean, as a player, do you refer to your head coach? Do you think that guys in New England refer to their head coach as Billy B? I just think that's a little kind of casually flippant to refer to your head coach as Billy O. I don't know. I mean, because he also talked about Jack Easterby, and I evidently it makes more sense now that he said Jack Easterby is going to be connected with him for life. They have a great connection. He has the utmost respect for him. He pushes you. You know, they're both very religious people. So he's very tight with Easterby. He got a great first impression from Bill O'Brien. And, you know, he talked about everything from, you know, why he had a down season last year. And he also went into, you know, the thought on his value and what he thought about how many times he's been traded in the NFL, especially in the last couple of years. And his response was this.
The way that I look at it, I take it as a positive, you know, and that I'm wanted and that I'm valued, you know, at a high level still to this day. You know, you look at all the trades, they all went for a first round and this one going for a second round. To be honest with you, I'm blessed to be and play with so many different teams and different quarterbacks and different organizations. And for me, I don't look at it as a negative at all. You know, I look at it as, you know, teams want me. And, you know, former teams feel like, man, gosh, this is such a great, you know, deal for both sides. You know, it's a win-win, you know. So I don't think of it as a negative. I look forward to it. I'm a guy that adjusts pretty quick. And wherever I go, like I tell people, I'm going to ball. So I'm not worried about that. And for my nickname is just for me, my favorite Bible verse.
Look, I like his attitude. And it sounds like his head's on straight. He even talks about that he's not here to try and replace DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, I hear that, and I think that's great that he's saying that, but we all know that's not the reality of it, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you can say that it's great that other teams want you, but that team doesn't. That's why they trade you.
Sure.
You never trade a player that you want.
Well, wonder what the season he had in New England. And we've talked about over and over at nauseam about how New England just has never put the right pieces around Brady and gone out and spent and found the big-time players. He had a great year for them. He was a big-time part of what they were doing. And yet they unloaded him.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. You don't trade players you want. You trade players for a myriad of reasons, but all that would either you don't think help your team or are detrimental to your team. So when you've got a guy like Brandon Cooks and he gets traded and traded and traded, usually you go and get a guy that you can trade for because you think that, hey, this guy can help us and it makes sense for us to give up what we get. We feel like we're winning the trade or it's at least even. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that I don't think that you're out there running after guys like Brandon Cook and teams are like, well, this is just too good of a deal to pass up, but we love him. Because most teams are just like, well, we're just going to hang on to him.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, from a bonus perspective, sure, he played with Brady, he played with Breeze. He compares Deshaun Watson to those two guys and sees a lot of, you know, great characteristics. That's going to be good. But yeah, you got to wonder what was the reason why these teams were so quick to unload him?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they know that evidently the Texans and other teams don't? that's going to make it a question mark in terms of how he fits and what he's able to do. Because then you talk about just the whole medical history, and we talked about the concussions. The fact that in the biggest game of his life in the Super Bowl, he gets knocked out in the first quarter and doesn't come back. And so, and it was one hit, you know, one play. You got to think the more he gets these concussions, the more frequently they're going to happen. And so it's risky business. He says he's healthy. We'll see what happens. But it'll be interesting how it all comes together see what they can do on the field with the receiving core that they have. So I just wanted to get those quotes in there as we wrap up the first hour of the show. Dell, have a great weekend. We appreciate you, my man. I know it's been a long morning.
Appreciate
Aaron
you, bud.
Rabel comes in next, and we'll pick up with hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.